46. Parsha Sema, Zion Iyar, 22nd April, Shir number 46. We're starting with section 2, Perek 3, paragraph 7.
One word, I tried hard, but it keeps telling us the secrets of the universe, as I call it, spiritual physics of how Hashem runs the world. Spanish physics, how Hashem cause and effect with the cause of this. And I try hard to make it relevant, and it's like a Musar Sefer to see that everything we do is meaningful and how every person has a purpose in the world and everybody is judged accordingly. But I don't know if I can always do it. This paragraph 7 now, we're up to. So, we'll see. But at any rate, it's good to learn physics anyway, theoretical physics. Otzar Chladas, another point to make, and it's constantly the matter. So there's another more factors. And he says, I don't to say her. He builds up slowly. He doesn't want to have everything that you would want, you won't remember. So he's very assumed that. And he first gives the general game plan and then more specifics and more specifics and more specifics. And he said that's what he has done with Hitler, saying that's what he's going to do. So it sounds like he's telling us everything, and this paragraph is taken out. Another point, because it gets more and more detailed. If you want to remember, review it or whatever, maybe someone here will take the Herculean task of writing a summary of every paragraph and we'll print it up and we'll sell it. We'll call it Derech Hashem for Dummies. But that's what everybody wants nowadays. They want the Cliff Notes on everything. They don't want to go through every word and every thought and every phrase. They want the Cliff Notes. That's because of thanks to the internet and smartphones and click, and people don't have time, they don't have patience. Just give the bottom line quick. It's like that in many areas. I don't know, and learning is very damaging. It's not talked about. This is my personal social observation, that the story that came out now and are popular and are sold and bought are just a synopsis of this, a synopsis of that, a synopsis of that's what everybody's looking for now. So now, and they all write their introduction very piously that this substitute for the real thing. But you have to learn through the real thing, and this is just a review, or maybe it's a memory aid, right? But no one believes that. Anyway, I'm not saying no one, but that's what the works are nowadays. They're flawed. Okay. Anyway, if someone wants to go to that Hashem, it would be very good. Put it right in. Be a bestseller. Good news. Otzar Chladas. So Perek Zayin, another factor in how Hashem judges us. What Hashem takes into account when Hashem meets out justice. So we talked a lot, Chal talked a lot about. He doesn't call it tzaddik v'ra, but he talks about why people have surah. He spends a lot. We just learned quite a few different approaches to understanding people having surah and olam hazeh. He's saying there's another factor. They have brought them in every detail, which is mind boggling human being. Mashgachas al kol hanikshar bo takes into account everything associated with what happens to you. In other words, nobody exists in a vacuum. People have parents, have teachers, have people that came before them. So like what's happening to you might be still a ripple effect of what someone four doros ago did. Or what you did may have ramifications for your great-grandchildren. So it's complicated. Nothing happens to a person, chas v'shalom, unjustly. Nothing is unjust. That's premise one. But it might be happening to you. The way I understand it is that there's two ways. This is the way I understand it. I don't know if. Let me tell you the way I understand it. Sometimes a person deserves to have something happen to them, sort of actively. Like, you deserve that this should happen to you. And sometimes it's more passive, meaning it's not maybe it wouldn't have happened to you, but it's not unjust that it did happen. You don't have enough schusim to save you, let's say, from it. Let's say you don't deserve to get, let's say a Jew in World War II didn't deserve to get shot. But you didn't have enough schusim to be saved when there's a general gezeira that everybody's getting shot. Some people maybe didn't have enough schusim to get saved. So it's like, this is not unjust, but it wouldn't have happened in a vacuum. It happened because you're part of a larger group, and it's a gzeira on the larger group. If chas v'shalom to think that anything happened because it is unjust, that's a terrible thing to think, and we don't think that, and it's wrong to think that. But it doesn't mean it would always have happened. B'chatchila. Hashem is Erech Hapayim. Hashem is Bainus. Maybe you don't deserve to get punished in this world. Getting punishment in the next world. But it's not. It's like the killer with the evidence, or passive, active. But it happened, as part of. So he's saying now that things happen to people as a ripple effect of what came before them. But Hashem takes the whole chessboard into account, not just you. So now he's saying the chessboard takes the fourth dimension into account also, time. Right? It's a 4D chessboard. It's not just 3D, it's 4D. So there's time. And according to Hashem, when Hashem looks at the whole picture, Hashem's whole picture includes from the beginning of time to the end of time. And something might be happening to you because it's going to have ramifications to your children, or grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. And that's in this world. He's going to say that's in this world. In the next world, everybody's judged, strictly them. But here, a person might be poor because his grandfather was supposed to be poor, and nobody ever had enough to climb out of poverty, enough schusim to climb out of poverty. So you're poor, but it doesn't mean it's unjust. Let's say you're poor and you live in poverty, so good, that's yisurim, and that'll take off of your averus, or it'll be a kapara, or it'll be a nisayon, or it'll be a sorus to tshuva. Nothing happens that's unfair, but still, as I say, that's like I call passive. I don't know if it's the right word. It doesn't mean you would have been poor if you would have been in a vacuum, but you're not in a vacuum. There's Kori Hadoros Meirosh, the Mishnah says. It's Hashem looks at the whole, really all of humanity, but certainly, you have ancestors and you have descendants. This is like mind-boggling, and something that a human wouldn't be able to do. That every prat, every detail, is looked at with the ultimate effect on the whole. Like I said, the whole chessboard, but the whole chessboard in terms of time also. Mitzad kol ma shebesyachsim kol achalokim, the way everything is, all the parts are interconnected in kol chelek with binyano shel haklal, with everything else in the structure of the whole. Not everything is connected, is interconnected, right? I'm not saying everybody here in this room is interconnected with a Jew in France. To a degree, maybe yes, because Kol Yisrael are Raven Zelozah, and all the Kol Yisrael, and maybe it is, I shouldn't have said that, because the whole Kol Yisrael is one nefesh, is one neshama, that's foreign. So really, every Jew is interconnected. Some are closer than, you know, some are not, some are, maybe if you read about a Jew in France being murdered, so you read about it, and something touches you, because you're Jewish, right? We read about a guy getting killed in France, we don't care. I dare say we don't care. Maybe you do care. It's like you read about it. But a Jew gets killed, it touches everyone. So that pain that you feel, that's pain. That's real pain. So that's taken in the judgment. Why did you deserve that pain? Why? Anyway, but that's just an example. The point is, Hashem, he's not going into that now. He goes so in his other sphere. Now he's just saying everything is interconnected, remember, and even in terms of generations, it's interconnected, and Hashem takes into account every individual thing and its ripple effect on the whole. So when an individual is judged, who umadregoso, what's also taken into account is who madrigoso umatsabo b'me she kadmolo, what preceded him, the hainu ha'ovos b'me she yisachru lo, the hainu ha'bonim u'ma she'imo. Sometimes your community is affected, your shul is affected, your city is affected, your community is affected, your neighborhood is affected. Everything is taken into account. Ayin u'b'nei ha'dor, u'b'nei ha'ir, u'b'nei ha'chevra. Achar kol ha'ashkofa, so everything is taken into account, and everything meaning things we can't imagine. Yugzar olam, then, this is now the neshama. Now he says, "Yugzar olam achelik ba'avodu v'nisayik v'chara l'mala." In other words, when Hashem parcels out the neshama's job in this world, but the neshama, remember we said every person has their own task to fulfill. The task might be a headline grabber. Or the task might be a very small private thing. It's not small, a private thing that no one knows about. It's a mitzvah, a particular person, a particular mitzvah. But that's given out, it has to fit into the total picture, right? Well, I don't like the word tikkun olam, but I'll use it. Right? Hashem is to write. Everything in the world has to, I call it a billion piece jigsaw puzzle. So if the interconnection is, who great-grandson this is, and who is this, and whose great-grandfather is this person going to be, it's not always everything is taken into account, but its point is, these types of things are many times taken into account. Hashem knows if they're relevant or not. And then Hashem gives out your chelik in avoda, your chelik in your nesoyon, what you put into this world for. What door? A person is placed into a door, right? Let's say the Chafetz Chaim, if you read the Shemir Salashim, right? So, I'm not talking about Shemir Salashim now, but you read the Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Shemir Salashim, the second half of Chafetz Chaim, I think the second half is still Chafetz Chaim, right? I keep forgetting which half is going well. So, he talks about how Torah, learning Torah, was very, look down on it. And if you learn Torah, you couldn't get a shidduch. We've come full circle now. If you want to be normal and get a job, you have trouble getting a shidduch. you the day. One maybe with a special girl that's new eye because they go because they shackle, right? And everybody's brainwashed. So it's a different Torah. And so now there's a Nisayon, different Nisayonos. Then the Chafetz Chaim talks about the Nisayon was to learn a little for a year or two after you're married. That was a Nisayon. If people found out you were learning, they would want to do a shidduch with you. They wanted someone who could earn money, who would look at you. So that's just an example. So before each neshama is given this nisayon, Hashem looks at the door. Right? Every door now the nisayon is conspicuous consumption. Now the door is instant gratification of the nisayon. Now the door is life is too easy. People don't want to struggle and work and grow because everything is very easy, and then you have the internet, the social media. That's a tremendous Nisayon. So now the neshama is coming down. I'm given the tasks. I'm just giving examples of what I imagine he's talking about. Now the neshama is coming down, and this door, I'm given different neshamas. Yutan lo hamasa, and then, but he's not even talking about just the door. He's talking about whose grandson you are, and whose grandfather you're going to be, whose granddaughter you are, and whose grandmother you're going to be, great grandmother. Yutan lo hamasa, lavo dufarav yisparach. Because of your interrelationships, because of the ramifications of your behavior. You read a lot nowadays about people, let's say, who have trouble in their marriages, and it's because they're really following a pattern that they saw when they grew up in the marriages of their parents. So, again, everything's taken up the chaver, and Hashem makes two people we can get married, and they have to, let's say, rectify their mitos, but their mitos are a result of the way they grew up. Their parents' house, and they saw a certain behavioral pattern, they saw the way, the interaction of their parents, so they, that's what they know.
You talked about the sense of the community and how everyone
is interconnected.
Yeah, interconnected. I don't mean to pinpoint it, but I'm thinking of a particular case of the Muncie scandal that happened. How one person affected the entire community in terms of trenches, people throwing out all the cables and everything. How are they all responsible for, and why are they the ones who have to pay the price for it?
I don't know if they're responsible. They, let's say, suffered.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, so then we ask. The Ramchal is not saying that, again, it's not undeserved. If someone had to throw out all their pots and buy new pots,
and because
there's $2,000, so the loss is not undeserved. Maybe it wouldn't have happened otherwise, living in a town. Maybe, I don't know, I mean, you're asking me to play Hashem. The point is it's not undeserved. We don't know why things happen, but indeed, this happened to the people that live in a certain town, and were part of a certain community, and Hashem took that as a cheshbon. What had happened? And a person did terrible affairs, and the people affected suffered. So that was all taken into account. It wasn't that they. Indeed, that's a good example. Here's an example of someone in a vacuum, right, a very fine, outstanding people, but because they're part of a certain structure, so something happened that affected them. Like I said, with the people that got shot. We don't know Hashem's chesed on us. We have to firmly believe that they didn't not deserve it. If they would have been living in Westchester, we don't know if they would have had to suffer. You know, sometimes you say, oh, if they would have been living in Westchester, they also would have suffered a $3,500 loss. We don't know. Maybe
they didn't deserve what I call the chatchila, to suffer a 3,700 loss.
What about the, so
their neshamas
didn't think that
when
I approach
it, even
more so.
I don't know, but I do know it's not undeserved. And maybe they were not careful about kashrus, and they deserve. I don't know. I mean, you're asking me to make up things that I have no idea about, right? There was maybe there was a lax attitude about kashrus. I don't know. Maybe again, nothing's undeserved. So maybe the shamas went to the madrega they were supposed to be on. I don't know. You're asking me to play Hashem, and I don't know.
So it's kind of they're all interconnected.
That's a as I said, we're learning. The Ramchal is telling us the secrets of the universe. He's telling us the spiritual physics that exists. He doesn't expect us to understand it. We won't always be able to figure out why, but we'll be more sensitive. A person, 18 months, is a very difficult example. Which I would say, a person, it will teach us that a person has to be very careful about where they live and where they shop, and you know, so you'll say, well, it's kind of hard to find a better place to live in Chutz Laaretz than Monsey, and it's pretty hard to find a better hechsher than that store has. So okay, so that's, you know, there's a saying in law school, special cases make bad law. You pick an example that happens once every few generations, that there's such a scandal. And the scandal is because you're living in a town of Yerei Shemayim, where people are careful. The Hashgacha was A1. I mean, it turned out it wasn't A1. But that, not for me to judge the person that gave the Hashgacha. Everybody knew him and knows him. The tzaddik, he lived out his life, he's still living, Baruch Hashem, as a broken man. Because he was, I don't know, I was never a mashgiach of a store. I don't know even know if it was lax or not. You know, if he relied too much on the Ehrlichkeit and of the person who was known as a wonderful Jew in Yerei Shemayim. You know, it's hard to find where the flaw happened, but maybe there was a flaw, I don't know, I never gave a hashgacha. Maybe he didn't even pop. Maybe he never, I don't want to say, it's not fair to say anything. Now maybe he never popped in on an hour. I don't know. But the point is, but normally, again, that's an Islam. That's an example which I have nothing to say. But sometimes it says, you know, this is people sometimes upward mobility, they get a little money, they buy a nicer house, they live in a certain neighborhood, and they're not so careful about their neighborhood. And then, you know, two doors down the road, a kid goes off to Derech. And it's because of certain friendships that they made and certain schools they went to. Nothing is undeserved. You picked an example which is very hard. You picked like a Sadi Barallo example that has none of the usual answers. It's a puzzle. So sometimes we just throw up our hands and we say, you know, Kelahuna made novel Sadi Piyashiru. Were they Shogig? Were they Ones? Were they, you know, there's a difference between Shogig and Ones. We don't know. Hashem knows. Hashem judges everyone. Okay, I didn't answer your question, but I answered it as best as I could. You know, you asked a question, but you really gave an answer. Because what happened, happened. So even if it would be a much bigger question without an answer, if there wouldn't be this interconnection. So then you say, well, if there's no interconnection, then where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Then it's even more of a puzzle, and it doesn't have an answer, and it's just blind, wild, random occurrence that I had to throw out all my, I didn't know what I'm saying, that people had to throw out all their pots, $3,500 worth, $5,000 worth, and where's the, it's random. So when you learn Ramchal, at least you know it's not random. You still don't have the key to understand it, but your question is the answer. The answer is because we're all interconnected. And there's an interconnection, and Hashem is above time, and maybe there's a tikkun here for something the guy's grandfather did. We don't know. But the answer to your question is because there's an interconnection. Otherwise, it's just random and it's crazy and it's a roll of the dice. And where's the fairness of that? Okay. Ulam hincha roeh. And now he makes the point, but that it's important to realize. I'm describing, says the Ramchal, what determines things that happen to a person in this world. And that's why I stress and I specified that this will also determine what his purpose in the world is. In what state will he exist in this world? Also, Hamatzov. His responsibilities. Again, we passed the mitzvahs of Averus a long time ago. And we passed even Tikkun Midas a long time ago. And now we're talking about my accomplishment in this world, which is not always, certainly not always headlined, but it's not even sometimes it's to overcome the nisyonos of that door and be careful about the mitzvahs of Averus. No, that's not a small thing. To go through life and be careful that the mitzvahs and averus are a very, very huge thing. So, shekfioso amasot kachia amasot she'olov. Achlom habo, everyone's ruchnius is, there's no interconnection. Your ruchnius is your ruchnius. The interconnection determines your nisyonos, determines the state in which you live, determines what you have to overcome, and determines your nisayon, and determines your role, and determines your life in this world. But your the din v'cheshbon in the next world is just you. Right? You may be poor because your grandfather was poor, but nobody is punished because of what their grandfather was. You know, on my book. So that's what he says. If you are not to show you though. Umasher Abraham Novi, and that's why the Novi says in Yecheskel, Ben Lo Yisav Ha'avona, the Zed. Now he explains. For example, Hinei Amiska O'odom Shati Posek Lo Gedula Va'osher. Right? So Hinei Bonom Yivoldo Ashirim. Unless they do terrible Averis. Unless they really blow it. So they're going to be rich, and that's going to determine their Nisayim in this world. And that's going to determine how they live and where they live and who their friends are and where their schools are and what their nisayon is. But that's because they're connected to their grandparents, great grandparents. Whatever it is, this is an example. And if nothing special happens, they don't, let's say, do a terrible affair for which they deserve to get punished. You Ashir of Ali Gedula, so they'll also be rich and they'll be chashuv b'chein la'epech with poverty. Nimtza shlo higiyah ha'osher ha'ul la'osem ha'bonim ela mitzad ha'yosem b'nei osem ha'olos. So their wealth is because they're the children of those parents. Ba'ulam, indeed, amitas ha'inyan kachu, truth is, that Chazal teaches this. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Idius, right? In this very basic Mishnah test. So Adam Zocha Lebonov, he can endow. It's not really endow. It means the ramification of a person's life will go to the children unless they get it ruined in five areas. The Chamisha Dvar, Shemonos Achronim Levracha, that they counted out. What is it? Osher, wealth, rather the amount of years you live. That's what I think. Yes, that's something in the genes. Noi, right? Your physical appearance, handsome, beauty. Those three I remember. Osher, Noi, Osher, Noi, and Shonim. Look for Esher. Let's see if he brings it down here. See, a footnote does bring down that that's where the Akiva in the Mishnah, and the Rambam says that Chacham HaFeder is Rabbi Akiva, and all that is till this child becomes Bar Mitzvah. once the Shabbos Bar Mitzvah, then he gets an independent Teshma, he missed five things. Okay, but the Rambam is saying this is part of the interconnection. For Efer Shivol in Adam Betova, a person can be born with a great Matzot, you know, Chashivos, wealth, a good school, good connection, good Rebbeim. Because of who his parents are. So it spills over. The Eshigram came. So again, Hashem takes that into account too, but that just means that everything is fair. It means that the soyan of the Neshama changes. That it would have been a different soyan, it would have been a different life, it would have been a different role to play. And now, because we have these advantages in life, he might have. You know, we think of it as an easy life, but if we think spirituality, he might have a more difficult spiritual life because he has no excuse, right? And he's endowed with intelligence, and he doesn't need tutors or extra help, or he doesn't struggle in school, so that just makes the responsibility on him much more. And he has to be a role model now for other kids in his class, and he can't, you know, act out of line, and he has every advantage in the world. He might have a very hard spiritual life. We look at him as an easy life, he has a harder spiritual life.
Where does Swissovas come in? We always adopt.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Now, about our forefathers going
to the Yashigam Deshavitz Huspovit Tagilo Tova with Manan Asmanin, that this is Swissovas, that is the connection is there from the father. Also, that's Swissovas. Even if the father wasn't rich, but he may have done something that allows you to be rich. He couldn't have been rich. He had to be poor for his life. But you strike it rich not because of anything you did or anything you deserve, but because he did something and you're connected to your father. That's what I mean. Takes all these things into account. All the happen, it can work the other way around. Something bad a parent did can have a ripple effect on the child. Mitzaracher. On the other hand, Efer Shatipasa Katsola Oto Malo, Pasikin, Al Zera, Shazubasimero. You're the grandfather. You're the one who causes the wealth that the child has, or the brain that the child has, or whatever it is. Again, we look at it as, oh, that guy is so lucky. But, you know, it makes his spiritual life more difficult. He has more responsibility to do great things. So, Lehebech means, we tell after Esher Shetiposik Hatzolah Otovolol Al Zerah, Shemazad Motzis, we meant, Hevitzad Kovo, or because where he lives, supposed to benefit from his matzah, so the place where he's living has a benefit of benefiting from his gashmios, maybe from his ruchmios, or chevrosa, his chevura, his chevra. Efer shetiposik olav tova oro, mitovas olav azev, also because he's in a certain group and he's supposed to have a certain ripple effect on the group. Kitzot, that's what paragraph 7 said. Now we go on to paragraph 8. More complicated. No, tell me when you give up, we should learn something else. The Yom Nuvat calls that, maybe I'll give up soon. It's getting harder for me. It's hard for you, it's only because it's hard for the teacher. It's not for the teacher, so the kid doesn't understand. It's a teacher's fault. Yes, sure. Why did I grow up on the Lower East Side? I don't know. I was just lucky. That's not so lucky that you're off. My neshama had to grow up on the Lower East Side. My desire is to not eat Brussels pickles. Yeah.
Women are reserved to the star of sending up their husbands to learn. And here he's saying that when it comes time to Olam Haba, each person stands on their own deeds and what they've accomplished.
Yeah.
So how then can we...
If I accept your premise, which I'll accept just for the purpose of answering you, if a woman's, first of all, a woman has plenty of work on her own to do. You're quoting a particular Gemara, which talks about it specifically on a certain level. And so, but let me accept your premise that women are zochot olam haba, which is, you know, way past Ganav, like eternity, eternity, eternity. They have to have some connection to Torah. So it's with the schar that they encourage learning, whether it's the husbands or the children, or they give money for most of the Torah. That's their connection to learning, because they don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So what was your question? That is their role. They were born a woman, my condolences, and but that's their role. What do you mean? Their individual role. Their role is, let's say, let's not talk about women. Right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about a person whose life circumstances do not give him time to learn. Not even Kriyas Itim LaTorah. I mean, you know, he says Kriyas Shema in the morning and at night. And that's how he does the beer, bones, yeah. And that's, the Shulchan Aruch itself, that there might be a person, that there would be a person like that. He has no time, or maybe he has clubs to cup, right, like a piece of wood, and nothing goes in. But he is great at business. So the Shulchan Aruch says we should support Torah, and it's Kilu he learned, and maybe with Yisrael's little deal, or without Yisrael's little deal. So that's his role in life. I'm not talking about women. His role in life is to support Torah, and that's his connection to Torah, because he supports it. So your question is not a question. Again, it's the answer. That's what she's supposed to be doing with her life. Let's say if we can make a general rule out of it. Right? Women nowadays, you know, women's liberation, the good kind, it's good, like it's a certain development in the world. Women have plenty to do now on their own. You're born into a generation where, into a century, or a half century, I mean, where women are expected now to, I don't know, it was a rarity, not in ancient times, but 100 years ago, let's already call it 200 years ago. It was a rarity that women went around lecturing, giving Torah classes, and sharing Torah thoughts from people with other women, right? Now, boy, right? Dozens of them, seminaries, go to Torah, you know, Torah Anytime, or Torah.org, all these things, I don't want to say names, but women are powerhouses in Hashkafa, in Torah, so they're living in a different, really, in amazing times. Why Hashem's doing it, I don't know, not my business. Someone wrote a book, I forgot the name, like a funny name, The Moon something. Something with the moon. And the thesis of this book is that this is part of the process of Mashiach, of laws of Wavo. That women, it's like the moon will once again regain its full light, and the women is the moon, and man is the sun, so women are becoming more, are moving closer in that direction to be more, call it independent, you know, and in a good way, only in a good way. So the thesis of the book is an interesting book. I forgot the name, but I'm sure none of you read it. It's, what?
We're sitting here learning.
It has the word moon in it. It's an interesting book. That's a thesis from me. You know, it wasn't like, she wasn't beaten up for writing it. Interesting thought, an interesting Kiddush. Anyway, but certainly it's true that women now are born into, you know, I don't know, they're born into, they're very independent, more is expected of them, and I don't know, nobody ever did. I'm not aware of any scientific, sociological survey that, let's say, interviews girls who It's already enough years have gone by that you can interview girls who went to seminary and spent years post high school sitting and learning, and now they're married with 5-6 children, and you ask them, what did you gain out of seminary? Do you feel it helped you? Or do you feel it was a good time well spent? Right? I don't know the answer. I'm not aware of any. It's a fascinating study. Some shrimp sociologists should really do that, because it's always good to know what we're doing. Certainly the seminaries that take girls who are extremely passive at best about Yiddishkeit, and they're uninspired and unmotivated, and they're barely frum, and it's a huge nisayon not to text by Shabbos. Those seminaries, like, I know what they do. Right? I'm talking about like the five-star seminaries that take girls that grew up in, I'll say Lakewood, just because it's the easiest place to name. And the parents are total B'nai Torah. And they grew up with those values, and they come here and they go to seminary A, B, C, D, right? The top, they call it, the Ivy League. Ivy League seminaries. I wonder what they feel if they're married and have 6 kids. Do they waste the time or not? I don't know. It should have. I don't know if any boy who cares what seminary he goes back to. I really don't. Everybody's worried about it. I don't know. Seminaries you went to. I have many nieces who didn't go to any seminary. We don't need it. What do we need it for? They started right away their education in order to be able to earn money and to support a husband. They didn't feel they had to go to seminary at all. Maybe nowadays it's a little different. They grew up in my niece is in an innocent age, and now with so much out there, so everybody has to go to seminary to get like mischazek. I don't know. I wonder if anybody is looking into this. But it's still the pull of Eretz Yisrael. The pull of Eretz Yisrael. The pull of Eretz Yisrael is still very, very powerful. And the seminaries are overflowing. And it's still considered to get in with protection. The cost is over.
Crazy
cost. But that's of course, the government pays for 3/4 of it. So the cost is like everything else that the government gives money for. The cost rises because there's a lot of free money coming in. So if I think the market will bear, and this is the truth, if I think the market will bear a parent paying $2,000 for their girl to go to seminary, and the Pell Grant gives me $3,000, so I'll charge $5,000. This way I get $5,000, because I figure the market can be at $2,000. The government's giving me $3,000. And if not for the government, the cost would be $2,000, because that's what the market could be. That's what the government grants does. It does it to food, it does it to medical care. I'm a capitalist. Everything the government gets involved in, it gives out free money, so that causes inflation, because the price rises. If the government would give out food stamps, so the price of food rises, because that's free. And if I think the market could be of people spending $100, $200 a week on food, I don't know. So the price will rise. They're going to take food. You can be sure that the people that make up the prices on food are taking food stamps into account, right? So if they think that's the seminaries for sure, it's like that. Because it's too much of a coincidence that every time the Senate raises the Pell Grant by $500, that's how much the tuition goes up by. I'm an amazing coincidence. Well, okay. There's good money in seminaries. But the girls still flock, and seminaries open. Most of them, I don't even know. Most of them that I know about succeed. Because they're good, they do good work. They do good work. But anyway, Yeah, but to answer your question, it's not a stira. Even if a woman's role is to be the enabler of Torah, so that's her role, to be an enabler of Torah. What's wrong? That's her role. That's not called someone else's cheshbon. That's called her own cheshbon. She's an enabler of Torah. Okay, good. We'll stop here. So we'll come back to paragraph 8. Okay, try it.